ghost stories online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. That helps us grow in the rankings, lets other folks find us. We do greatly appreciate it, and you won't miss any episodes of the program that way as well. So it's kind of a win-win. Hey, Tony Brewski, that's me. Hi, how are you today? Jenny has the show off. She's not able to make it to this one. But I wanted to let you guys know that our book is out. You may already be aware of this factoid if you follow us on social media. But in the trek of how we record our shows, and we record them several days in advance just so we have a buffer in case, for example, I have to go have surgery, like when I had to have my appendix out. Thank goodness we had a little bit of a buffer there for some episodes, so we weren't like episode-less for a couple days. We just found out, literally, in the terms of the sequential order of recording, that the book is out on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. It is there. Yes, you can now get it. Paperback editions and the Kindle edition out there for your listening, or not listening, but rather reading pleasure. I'm always so used to saying listening because it's kind of what we do here on the show, obviously, but for your reading pleasure. No audiobook version of it yet, but it's on my radar. And it's quite honestly one of those things where I need to take the time to record it. But it is something that I do plan on getting out there. Hopefully by the end of the year. So once we have the audiobook edition, I'll let you know. But right now, let's try and get this one out there. So far in the time that it's been out, it's been doing really well, topping the paranormal and the ghost story book charts. So thank you for that. If you've pre-ordered and if you've gotten your copy, or if you've just ordered one since it's come out, it's called Real Ghost Stories: Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. That's the official full title of the book. So if you like it, please pick up a copy of that. And also, if you wouldn't mind, another big thing, and I know I ask you a lot of favors, and I hope it's okay, if you have a little bit of time once you read the book, give us a little review there on whatever site it is you get it from. If it's Amazon, or even if you pick up the bookstore, you can still put a review on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc. That helps us tremendously. Because, you know, when you buy something online, at least I'm this way, I'm always looking at the reviews. That's like been the best thing in the world for buying products that you don't know about. And I'm not saying, you know, our book that you don't know about. You know how our book is going to be. It's going to be good. But, you know, if I'm buying something, you know, like a microphone or something for the show, and I don't know a whole lot about it, I can see those reviews and it's like, oh, okay, this is a bad one. This is a good one. So a lot of folks who may not know our show, they're looking for a good ghost book. It's a good way for them to find us. And your review, your kind words, your saying something encouraging about it certainly helps us. You know, it takes like 2 minutes. If you got the time, I would so greatly appreciate it. Those reviews on Amazon help us tremendously for getting word out there about the book. So check it out. Very excited about it. It is out there. And it's funny because you guys got the book before we even got the book. I'm not even kidding. I got a PDF copy of it when we were in the planning phases, the development stages of it. The one that said, okay, this is our final copy. This is what's going to print. So that's all I have. But I didn't, I've yet to get my physical copy of the book. We are getting a bunch of them. They have yet to show up, but you guys have gotten yours first. So congratulations. Good for you guys. If I had to pick anybody to get the book before the authors, before us, it would certainly be you guys, our loyal listeners who have pre-ordered it and have been planning for it. So I really hope you guys enjoy it. I can't wait to get my copy. I'll show you a copy once I get it. Anyway, that's enough about the book. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Hi, you're on the air.
Paranormal Anomalies. I didn't mean to open up this call like something from National Geographic. Hey guys, this is Nicholas from Arizona again. I think I called you guys this week or something like that. Anyway, I kind of want to share another story. This probably might be one of my last stories I might share, so I don't know. Anyway, anomalies, like, I'm pretty sure we've all seen them. That's why we're all interested in this paranormal, ghosts, whatever, what have you, whatever your, you know, whatever your beliefs are. Like I said in a call a long time ago when I first called into the show, I'm an open-minded individual. You know, you knock me down if you want. I believe that there's other things out there. I believe that, you know, we have yet to discover anything, you know what I mean? There's just so much. We're finding out stuff on our planet now. There's still so many things we haven't even discovered here, let alone out there in the fathoms of space. And don't get me on space. But anyway, whew, I'm rambling already. I kind of wanted to go a little bit about an anomaly that I enjoy a lot. And that's what you guys call the slider effect, or what's actually called the slider effect, is when someone is passing underneath, you know, a lamp or something, or moving by electronic, it tends to like either reset or cut off or drain the battery or whatever. So my thing has always, I've always noticed is that usually I cut off and on streetlights. Now, I don't know, that, you know, could be just faulty wiring inside the streetlights. That could be whatever, a multitude of things. No one's ever going to know. I don't know, but it's frequent, and it's frequent enough for me to notice. Now, it'd be one thing if it was just like, oh, every once in a blue moon. No, this is like every day, same streetlight, same one I pass under. It's completely dark until I get to it. I've seen cars drive by it. I've seen people walk by it. It does it when I go by it, or maybe that's just me noticing it. Anyway, I've said this before, and, you know, you guys have gone over it, but I noticed something tonight as I drove by the same one that cuts on and off. There's multiple ones that do it, but I noticed this one more. And I noticed that right across the street, and I always forget, there's a cemetery over there. There's a cemetery, and it's weird. It's just strange. It's strange. But I kind of wanted to share that real fast. Another thing I want to share is a actual ghost story. Hooray! So this one goes all the way back to when I was in high school, like back in 2010, 2011, whatever. So I might get some of the stuff that I recall incorrect. So in my buddy Kyle and Casey's house, they were brother and sisters, it's a fairly new house. It was fairly built. But the area that we lived in, Elizabeth City, North Carolina, is really old. That's a really old city. It's a really old town. I couldn't tell you exactly when it originated, but I just know it's really old. It still has a lot of the older buildings there, and there's actually a tour where you can go and you can go visit some of the older buildings. So anyway, they had this entity that they formally named as the Doorman. And just as his name suggests, this entity or this whatever appeared in front of doors or indoors. And so that's why they gave him the name Doorman. Now, I wasn't there for when they first experienced this, but usually that was the hangout spot. That was the house. His mom didn't really care how many people she had over, you know. She would sometimes have her friends over, and then we as friends would get all of our friends over, and we would just hide up, not hide, but we'd hang out upstairs and do whatever, you know. Minimum supervision, you know, teenagers, we do teen things. Anyway, so they were all hanging out one night, and then they noticed something out in the backyard. And so I think they went to go check it out. They went to go flip on the back porch lights, and there was something in the yard. They shone a flashlight over there, saw nothing. And then ever since then, randomly, they would catch something in the frames of the doorways. So eventually, they told all of us about the story, all those who weren't there during the experience, about the doorman. And so me, being the paranormal junkie that I am, I'm like, let's do like a Ouija board. Problem, we didn't have a Ouija board. Who cares? We made one. So we made a little broke makeshift Ouija board out of paper, and we cut out another little piece of paper with a planchette. for the planchette, I'm sorry. And we did that. So what we did is we split it up. I think there were seven of us. There was myself, there was Kyle, there was Alex, there was Ryan, there was Casey, and then there was Cody. And we were all, you know, in on this. We're like, okay, let's go, let's get it. So what we did is we had three or four people inside a room with the Ouija board asking the questions, and then we had three or four other people. I'm sorry, I don't remember. Math sucks. So we had the other people outside in the hallway, like by the door. And so I just remember myself, Alex, and I think Kyle and Casey was in there with us, and we were asking questions. We were like, are you the doorman? The planchette would move. I don't know. I'm a little iffy about the Ouija board thing. I don't know. I want to believe that it works, and then I also can understand what, like, people saying that your mind is subconsciously moving it. So I don't know. I'm on the fence about it. I've never had any crazy Ouija board stories. Anyway, so we were in there, we were playing with a makeshift Ouija board. It was giving us answers, it was talking to us or whatever, what have you. Now, the people in the hallway were freaked out, and we started hearing commotions, you know, and they burst in the room. And we're like, what's going on? What happened? And all the people that were out in the living or the hallway were like, we heard breathing. There was like someone breathing right next to us, and we're freaked out. Now, that could be paranoia. That could be just, you know, fear of being in the dark area. We were all spooked out. We were like, yeah, ghost, and I don't know. But it was strange. It was odd. And that's probably the best Ouija board, like, experience I've ever had. Like, nothing crazy happened. Nothing went flying across the room or whatever. Now, my buddy Alex could tell you stories about things flying across the room and crosses spinning in the middle of the ground and haunted phone calls and demonic whatever. He can tell you all that kind of stuff. But for me personally, I've not had too many experiences where I can just concrete, just go, boom, I believe in that, you know? But I want to. I really do. Anyway, I don't want to ramble too much. I've already taken up 7 minutes. So I really enjoy your guys' show. If I do call again, be prepared for another story in my rambling. If not, I really hope you guys, you know, continue doing what you do. I really enjoy listening to everyone's experiences, and, you know, it really gets me going. It really gets me hoping that one day someone can go, yeah, you know, there's ghosts, and we can prove it. Boom. You know, like, everyone's on board with it, not just, oh, ghost shows, they're doing that every day. No, I want, like, everyone, oh, ghosts are real? Oh, yeah, ghosts are real. Boom. Scientifically. Anyway, I'm going to go. I'm rambling. Peace out, guys.
Thank you for those stories. I think you got some good evidence there that maybe you should revisit in terms of your being convinced of the Ouija board and what it could do, just seeing how everyone had a collective response to what was going on there. Creepy story. The other thing you'd mentioned, the slider effect or whatever you want to call it with the streetlights. I noticed that with myself when I was younger. When I was a teenager, it was one of those things where, yes, it wasn't every time, but it was enough where you noticed it, where you could see cars driving down roads and nothing would happen, or other people walking down and nothing would happen. But then I did it. And boom, lights going out. I remember one specific time on a fairly, you know, traveled road. It wasn't some sort of obscure road where for some reason the lights or the streetlights would have been off for any period of time and then triggered with a car. They were on, actually, and they went off in succession as I went down this road. That took place, I remember, there was in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. It was a cold winter evening, very snowy and icy out, and it was just bizarre. And I remember just having that happen several other times where the lights would go on or go off, the street lights, depending on what position they were in when I got to them. And I can't explain it. I don't know. I will say this, it did seem, or it has seemed to have calmed down in the last 15 years or so. I can't say that it's something I notice as being a thing anymore. The way I did back then. And I wonder if that has something to do, you know, we talk about that a lot of teenagers, especially teenage girls being conduits, if you will, almost for some paranormal activity in those years, you know, with emotions running high and all that, if that's something to do with it. I don't know, but it was definitely odd. So I understand where you're coming from on that. Appreciate the call. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hey, Jenny's new podcast has launched, by the way. She'll be on the show, I'm sure, tomorrow to talk about that a little bit in greater detail, but it's called Junkin' with Jenny. You can subscribe to it on iTunes, Stitcher, whatever platform you want to get your podcast through. We're trying to get it out there to all of the providers. It takes a little bit of time for it to all get picked up, but it will be in all the places eventually. Now, iTunes is the biggest as far as downloads go and where people get their podcasts, but check that out. It's called Junkin' with Jenny. What it is essentially, it's a show where we take, and it's both of us on the show, and there's a video version as well on the website, junkinwithjenny.com, but it's a show where we take items, we take rooms, and we give them new life. We essentially kind of reinvent things that may be a bit dated or going to be thrown away or what have you. It's really exciting. This is a show we have literally been developing for the last several years. Many years, honestly. It's been one of those things where it takes a lot of time to, number one, get the material, meaning tape it, take pictures of it, learn it, and get to a point where we can really talk competently about it. And now we're to the point where we've got a lot of material for the show. We know what we're talking about now, we think. And we've finally launched this thing. It's been such an in the works project. It's actually had a couple different names as we've gone through the evolution of creating it. But we've settled on the Junkin' with Jenny, and that is how it's been launched. And you got to check it out. There's before and after pictures. If you like HGTV stuff, you're going to like this show. That's basically, and it's a podcast show, and there's video aspects of it on the website. It's all free right now. JunkinWithJenny.com. Please check that out and do press subscribe on that show. We're really excited about that one. It's a whole other side of us with still keeping the funny side of us. So if you like us, you'll like that show. 855-853-4802, our number. Let's go to the caller. Hi.
Hey. Hi, Brewskis. I'm a dedicated listener and soon-to-be EPP member. Just wanted to tell you that I was visited in my sleep by a shadow person and told to become an EPP member. I'm just joking. I was listening to your broadcast, the one of the eclipse day with your weird apple tree, and some dude called in talking about how the ghost teleportation thing is possibly a time travel thing, which got me on the trail of thinking. It's not time travel, it's time dilation. You know how time can be dilated with gravity? Assuming that ghosts aren't affected by gravity the way we are, they would have less gravity, therefore allowing them to move faster. But the thing is, they would also be fighting gravity, hence where ghosts have to be strong in order to really manifest or to move things, because they would be fighting gravity. You'd have to be strong enough to fight a gravity. Maybe, let's call it 12 times stronger than what we face. But it would allow them to not have to deal with gravity as much, meaning that they can move faster in time. Anyways, just a thought. Love your show. Guys, keep it up.
I always enjoy calls where we're getting opinions and thoughts on some of the technical areas of what we talk about on the show. You usually lose me a little ways into it because I'm not a super scientific person. I don't really get into the science of it all, if you will. I'm more so recounting the experiences and the stories. But it is certainly interesting to hear the perspective. I think I understand what you're talking about, and I'm sure smarter minds out there do as well. But thank you for your theory. Thank you for expressing that idea here on the program. Greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, my name is Amy Clark. I live in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And July 2nd of 2013, I lost my dad to a heart attack. And the night we buried him, I was in my room sitting on my bed reading. And I saw my dad sit down on the edge of my bed, and we started talking. And he told me he loved me and that he missed me, and he would be waiting for me up in heaven. And then my grandmother died in 1980, and I was in seventh grade. And my grandmother came to see me at school, and she said something told her that I wasn't okay and that she was worried about me. And so I stood up from my desk, and I kissed my grandmother. She kissed me back, and we hugged. And then I looked up, and she was gone. And I love your stories online, and I am a fan. And I just wanted to say how much I love y'all's radio show, and thank you for listening to me. Have a good night. Goodbye.
Thank you for sharing your experience with us. My question would be on that is, you stood up from your desk, you hugged your grandmother, you gave her a kiss. Did the other kids see her? Was it just as normal as a parent visiting a kid? Like, oh, hey, I'm here to drop off Jimmy's backpack. Then, you know, when you're a kid, you know, give mom or dad a hug quick and then they're gone. Is that how it occurred? Is that how it was viewed by the other children? Or was it something where you literally, you know, you stood up, you to the other children, hugged the air, and the kids are like, what's going on? I'm just curious as to what the encounter was, how the encounter occurred, because sometimes when you have those visitation experiences, they're just viewed by the person that are intended to have them, and everyone else around doesn't have it. That's my question. If you hear this this episode, feel free to call back and fill us in as to what the other kids were seeing and experiencing in the classroom when that occurred. Greatly appreciate it. Phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your experiences with us at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hello, you are on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Gabrielle, and I'm calling from Dallas, Texas. I guess I'm going to try, like most people, to shorten this down as best as I can. Let me first start off by saying I feel personally like I've always been sensitive to paranormal things. I think that I tried to deny it for a long time and chalk it up to other things and make other excuses. But the older I get, the more I find it hard to deny. This show has really helped me realize a lot, and I appreciate that. I have a ton of experiences, but there's one in particular that I would like to speak about, and hopefully, in the end, I'm looking to receive some guidance. April of this year, my younger brother, who was 18, committed suicide. He had had a long, difficult life of battling with depression. I don't personally suffer from it, so it's hard for me to understand on certain levels, but he was mostly that way his whole life. So he didn't leave a letter. We didn't really have any other warnings aside from the depression. And one morning I got a call from my dad. I lived the next street over. I ran over, and you know, that was that. So just to kind of speed things up to the experience that I had, a couple of months later, about 2 months ago now from this date, I finalized my divorce with my ex-husband, and I moved into my dad's house. My dad's house is not large. He didn't have a lot of space for me, but because my brother was no longer on this earth, he had a spare room for me and my daughter to stay in. So the first night I stayed there, my daughter was not with me. It was just me. And I remember walking around his room and getting settled down and looking at all of his things. And of course, like I imagine anyone would, I felt overwhelmed. When he was cremated, his remains are in his room. Everything that is him, almost even a shrine, is there. And, you know, I kept telling him in my head, thank you for allowing me to stay in your room. You know, I miss you. I love you. Very emotional experience for me. I didn't really expect anything paranormal, but because of the overwhelming sensation of missing him, I began to just start thinking in my head, like I think a lot of people who have family members who pass that way do. I started thinking, was it really that bad? You were so young. Did you have to leave? Was it that bad? Was it that bad? I stopped thinking, went along with my day and finished getting settled in. And then I went to bed that night. Now, I've always been a vivid dreamer, and I have had experiences where I believe deceased family members have come to visit me, but this night it was different. I remember watching TV, laying on my back. My whole life I've slept on my stomach. I can't fall asleep on my back. It's virtually impossible for me to do so. So I guess just from the move and from everything going on, I was watching TV and laying on my back. And at some point in time, I guess I dozed off. I remember, I think I fell asleep. Now, I guess after I had fallen asleep, I got this overwhelming sensation of, well, no, it's hard to explain. This overwhelming sensation of fear. Everything was black. I couldn't see anything. I was absolutely terrified. And I just had this horrible, to say the least, sinking feeling in my stomach. I was afraid and upset and trying to look around. I couldn't move. And I remember in the dream trying to wake myself up, saying, hey, 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 get up, get up, get up. You know, this is scary. You need to get out of here. This is bad. This is horrible. I mean, for lack of, you know, just to, I was depressed. I felt depressed and saddened and overwhelmed, and I wanted out, and I would have done anything to get out. And I kept trying. I've never tried to wake myself up. I know kind of what paralysis is. I've never really looked into it. I don't know if this was a thing of the sort, but I do know that I was in an extreme state of panic, trying to wake myself up and get out of this feeling. I didn't feel any presence around me. I just felt horrible. And it wasn't very long, it didn't seem like, but at the time it felt like an eternity. And then all of a sudden I felt my brother's presence. I felt warm. And I felt him say, hey, 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 it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's me. And I'm getting chills now just telling the story, but I felt him say, it's okay. It's me. It's me. Everything's all right. And then he said to me, I just needed you to know how I felt. And at that point in time, I kept thinking, well, okay, well, that's what I get for asking. Was it really that bad? Because the answer to my question is yes. Yes, it was that bad. And that was very emotional for me. And then in the dream, we went forward to talking, and he said some things to me, you know, that he had said to me in real life, you know, you're a good mom, you're doing good, you're going to be okay. You need to lean on family right now. Not only do you need them, but they need you. And he told me a couple specific things related to our mutual brother and my father and some things to say to them. And then it was very happy. It was a very wonderful experience. And then in the distance, I heard my dad call my name, and I saw my brother turn and look. And then he looked at me and he's like, time to go. And I woke up. I woke up, sat straight up, just full of tears. Just, I mean, if you can imagine, just bawling. So emotional. I stood right up and opened the door to see if anybody was awake in the house so I could tell them immediately, and everybody was sound asleep. I went back to my room, his room, and jotted down the things that he had said to me just in case, you know, if I went back to sleep, I wouldn't forget. So I could deliver the messages to my dad, and so I could never forget. It's not something I would forget anyways now looking back, but I then found it very difficult to go back to sleep, of course, and that was the end of that. So that was very life-changing and altering for me in a lot of ways. Because it was so emotional and powerful, I kind of resisted on telling my family about it immediately. It's just a very sensitive subject, if you can understand that. Now, my dad is very spiritual and sensitive to things like this as well. So shortly after that, I was eager to tell him, and we kind of talked about it, and he was emotional, and he cried, and he was upset, and he wished he could feel the same thing so he could understand. But he also has received visitation dreams where, coincidentally, some of the things that my brother was telling me to tell my dad were things that he had already told my dad or had told him after I had had my dream in one of his dreams. So that was very interesting. Now, between that conversation between me and my dad, we kept talking, and my dad said to me, now, prior to this house that we live in, we grew up in a little town in an old Georgian-style home, a very old home, three stories. You know, if you're going to think about a place being haunted, it's probably going to be that one. But I didn't really have a whole lot of activity there when I was younger. Looking back, there were certain things here and there that I seemed to be teaching. But my dad had certain experiences there. I didn't share the same ones. But a little bit of a more backstory on that. There was only two previous owners. It was a family. They gave it to their nephew, and then the nephew then raised his family in it and then sold it to my dad. Now, my dad had mentioned to me while we're discussing the dream, he said, I wonder if the depression that my brother suffered from wasn't just a chemical imbalance or wasn't just mental, but it was almost spiritual. And I said, well, why do you say that? It's kind of like I never heard that kind of, you know, input on something like that before. I said, and he said, well, do you remember the, you know, the family before? They had a son who had passed away as well. And I said, oh, yeah, of course I remember him. And he passed away the same thing, a different type of way, but it was a suicide. He was a little bit older than my brother, and then I said, yeah. And he said, you know, he was in the same room as your brother. That was his room. He said, I just wonder if it just has something to do with that room. And ever since he has said that, I just keep thinking to myself, you know, as a kid, I never liked going in that room. If, you know, my door to my room, you could see straight into it. I'd close it every night. I didn't like my back facing it. I just always had weird feelings about it, but I just kind of chalked it up to being a kid. You know, I had seen shadows and certain things, but again, I had chalked it up to an overactive imagination. But now looking back, it just seems to sort of make sense to me. So fast forward a little bit to current date and thinking, my brother spent a lot of time in the shed outside, which was his area where he hung out and worked and listened to music and things of that nature. He spent more time in there than he did his bedroom. Now, frequently, I'm still at my father's, and I go out back to a different side of the shed, and not necessarily in the part that was my brother's, but, you know, and I can just, I don't know if it's because that's where he died, but I just feel it. I just feel an energy. It's not a bad energy because it's my brother, but it's a little frightening, and I'm sure a lot of people could understand that. But I feel like something is telling me to go in there and listen. And that is kind of scaring the shit out of me. I don't know if he's trying to reach me or there's other things I need to hear or if it's just because I crave his presence at this point. I'm not entirely sure what it is, but there's something holding me back. So I guess what I'm seeking guidance on and my biggest question, my only question is, if I go in there and decide to do this, if he was afflicted by depression and it was something that he carried with him because of something that was in the room in the home that we grew up in, that was given to the young man before, that was then given to my brother, if I go into that shed and I try to, I don't know, summon or just, you know, see if I can find more of my brother's presence, am I going to be calling something negative forth? I'd like to think not, but that's not something that I really want to risk. So I'm not entirely sure. I guess I'm asking for some expertise here. If I were to just step into that room, would it be a good idea? Would it be just a good idea to avoid it altogether? Or perhaps is there a way I can immediately try to ward off anything negative? I'm not sure, but I can say for certain that something strong is pulling me in there. Like I said, it terrifies me. I feel like it's my brother, but at the same time, I don't know if it's something darker than that. I'm not entirely sure. Very confusing for me a little bit. Very emotional. I'm sure you can understand. I do feel like from the dream that my brother is at peace and he's happy where he is. This is what he wanted, and I'm happy for him after that visitation dream. I truly, truly am. Truly am. But anyways, Tony and Jenny, I just listen to the show every day now at work. Just like many other people say, it gets me through the day. Makes the days go by much, much, much quicker. Took me a while to catch on exactly what the EPP thing was, but I intend on being EPP very, very soon because, you know, I just love it so much. And you guys are the best. You always put a smile on my face, and I really, really appreciate what you're doing for everyone out there and people like me. And just please keep it up. Don't stop doing what you're doing. You guys have a good day. Bye.
It's kind of the million-dollar question when someone is debating whether or not they're going to use a Ouija board or something to conjure up a spirit or just try and communicate in some way to the other side, doing whatever. Insert action here. Can you guarantee you're going to be getting the person you're trying to communicate with? And the answer to that is bluntly, no, you can't guarantee that. What are the odds? There are no odds. This is something obviously that we don't fully understand or know how it works or why it works or if it works. I guess maybe the if we can take out of it, it's just a matter of you can't necessarily do it like clockwork, saying this will work every single time, because there's plenty of times where it doesn't. But when it does, it can be very deceiving sometimes. And we've heard those stories here on the show of someone trying to communicate with a loved one and they think they're talking to the loved one for great periods of time. And then suddenly, wait a second, this is not who we think it is. We've heard stories where they communicate with the other side and there's no reason to not think it is who it is. And that's the end of it. So I'm never going to tell you do it, don't do it. I personally err on the side of caution because there's no telling what you could possibly get. That's my personal opinion on it. And the just judging from the thousands of stories that we've had on the show, the risks and how dark some of those risks can get far outweigh, to me, I think, the benefits of the possibility of a communication with a deceased loved one. I really do think that and I think they would, you know, if they're on the other side and they understand and what's out there as well, I would think that they also would agree. That's just my opinion on it, just because there's can be some pretty dark things that can come in and can be very, very tormenting. I think it's one of those things where if I'm on the other side and something horrible had happened to me or by my own choosing, I think I'd want to hopefully have my loved ones be at some sort of peace and some sort of, acceptance of the situation. And I'm sure that's something that's much easier said than done. But I think I would also be trying to, at least looking at my loved one going, I want you to try and find this place and find this peace without my intervention or interaction. You know, that's how I think I would be looking at it personally. I have no idea, you know, what exactly your loved one would be saying. But that's, I guess, how I would think I was if suddenly I was in a car accident or something. I would really hope that my loved ones could try and find that and work through that with what's there, you know, with what memories they have and with all of that, without having to put them in any sort of risk of what they may conjure up. So that's just my thoughts. Thank you for the story. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here on the show. Obviously a very, very difficult thing to go through. And you know, just thinking on this too, I think, you know, he did come to you. He did bring you some understanding, if you will. And I think maybe that's where he may be wanting it to be left. He brought you that feeling, that feeling of sadness, that feeling of just hopelessness, that feeling of depression, that feeling that unless you've been there, unless you know how deep and dark and hopeless and just distraught that place is, it is very difficult to understand when something like this happens. Because you hopefully, you know, most of us don't ever have to go there, but a lot of us have had such dark feelings that it's you've been there, don't want to go back there again. And it's very difficult to explain and to understand, but maybe he did give you a bit of a taste of that, just a free sample enough, if you will, to hopefully get into a better understanding of why it happened and where he was and what he was feeling. I think that may be the missing key there to try and get a better understanding of this and maybe find some peace out of it. Thank you again for the story. I know it's so difficult to talk about these things and share them. I hope that being an outlet helps a bit with that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. We greatly appreciate you listening to the program. If you like the show, got the book out now. Check it out. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Make sure you get a copy of that. And if you don't mind, leave us a review. We would greatly appreciate that. The full title of the book, by the way, if you are out there looking for it, because there's a lot of ghost books out there. It has our logo on it, by the way. So that makes it a little easier to recognize our book over the other ghost books. But it's Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. So check that out. Also, if you like the show, become an EPP member, extra podcast person. Get all the bonus episodes of our show. Sign up for that at ghostpodcast.com. 100, what are we up to? Like almost 160-ish EPP bonus episodes. Best ghost stories you'll ever hear on that site. Full episodes of the show, 167 of them. Exclusive stuff that's fallen off of iTunes. And now also exclusive content from our other two podcasts, Dream Meetings and Junkin' with Jenny. We're posting stuff up there before anybody else. We're going to have a lot more with those shows coming out that are going to be exclusives for EPP members. And we're kind of creating the EPP portal for all of the shows. So if you're a subscriber and EPP member of this show, you are now an EPP member of those other shows. So you're going to get extra stuff in terms of content there as well. So check it out. There's even more reasons to be an EPP than ever before, as we're just putting a lot of extra stuff out there for you guys at ghostpodcast.com. So check that out. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.